I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom,
what is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody, and happy early Labor Day weekend. We will get to everybody's Labor Day plans in the show. And I want to share with you that we just have a great lineup today. We've got Fred Gutenberg, who's going to be joining Brian and I here on the air at the bottom half of this hour. Mr. Gutenberg's daughter, Jamie, was killed in the Parkland school shooting 5 years ago, and since then has made it his mission to help lobby for common sense gun regulations. And he's going to be joining us to talk about Representative Derek Van Orten and his basically beholdenness, I think would be a correct indicator, his extreme positions on guns. Really, really looking forward to that discussion with Mr. Gutenberg. We also have Chuck Collins joining us for today's 3 o'clock hour for Maggie and the Millionaires. Chuck is a native Wisconsinite, everybody. He is the great-great-grandson of Oscar Mayer. So that is going to be a terrific conversation because everybody loves bologna. I mean, right? So Chuck and Fred joining us today. We're also going to have Civic Media's own Terry Barr to close out this week of what's local and overlooked, some positive news heading into the weekend. But Brian, I wanted to start here because it has been in the news for a number of days and we haven't yet talked about it on our show. And that is what went down at Arlington National Cemetery this past week.
I give it a thumbs up.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I have been hoping, I guess, perhaps really naively, that this story was either exaggerated or that there was an explanation, that it was just a good faith disagreement. But the reporting that has come out, first broke by NPR, it just keeps getting worse. So if you're not familiar, I'm sure most of you have heard something about this. Mr. Trump was asked to join some families at Arlington National Cemetery on August 26th, so earlier this week. And as part of that, they were visiting Section 60, which is the area of the Arlington National Cemetery that is generally reserved for service members who served in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. And because of the recency of those conflicts, federal law prohibits filming or photography there for campaign purposes. It's well known. The law is very clear. And apparently what happened was campaign staffers from the Trump campaign were with the former president and these families and attempted to take photos and videos. And a staffer for the Arlington National Cemetery stepped up to remind them that taking such videos and photos is prohibited. And there was an actual physical altercation. And again, I guess really naively, I kept hoping that that didn't happen. But yes, the statement to NPR on Tuesday of this week, Arlington National Cemetery confirmed that there was an incident and a report was filed. And again, here, this is from the statement from Arlington National Cemetery. This was on Tuesday. Quote, federal law prohibits political campaign or election-related activities within Army National Military Cemeteries to include photographers, content creators, or any other persons attending for purposes or indirect support of a partisan political candidate's campaign. Arlington National Cemetery reinforced and widely shared this law and its prohibitions with all of Monday's participants. And the cemetery isn't releasing the name of the person involved in the incident, for obvious reasons, because I'm sure death threats would immediately occur. But when this is taken in the context and in the totality of Donald Trump's continuous denigration of service members, this to me is just shocking. You would expect a campaign, like, forget that it's Donald Trump. Like, maybe can we act like it was 15 years ago? If someone's campaign, whether it was for dog catcher or governor or a congressional representative, and certainly for president of the United States, before all of this weirdness, if this would have happened in any other campaign, the person that shoved the staffer from ANC, from the Arlington National Cemetery, that was just trying to do their job to remind people of the solemnness of Section 60, especially, remind them of federal law, to avoid the exploitation of service members, and also to protect the families of others buried around the family members of those who invited Donald Trump to this ceremony on Monday. If this had happened in any other circumstances, the campaign would have apologized and that person would have been fired. But I've held my, or kept my powder dry a bit on this, because I wanted to be sure that this was as bad as it indeed appeared on Tuesday. And it is now unquestionably so. And what's worse was not just the original altercation, but oh my goodness, the unapologetic and completely inappropriate response from Trump campaign spokespeople. And I'll get to what they've said in just a moment. I'm curious what you all thought, what your reactions to this were, especially if you or someone you love have served in the military. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. On Thursday, so just yesterday, by the way, the official, the staffer from the National Cemetery refused to press charges. And at the Pentagon yesterday, Sabrina Singh, the deputy press secretary, said the Defense Department was not pursuing the incident any further, that they stood by their prior statements, and that they considered the matter closed. In addition, they made clear that the FBI and the Justice Department, that neither entity are investigating the incident and are unlikely to do so. Why, if you're a Trump supporter, like, why is this defensible? I just do not understand this. I am so disturbed by this. And the fact that Corey Lewandowski has posted photos from that afternoon. Corey Lewandowski is employed by the Trump campaign. I'm looking at, I'm looking at Corey Lewandowski's posts with the photos. That's a violation of federal law. Why is that okay? I'd like to hear from you all as well.
I don't see them jumping in on this at all. The guy has used very sacred things as props before. He even held up a Bible upside down for a photo op. I mean, nothing is sacred here, and I find it also, I mean, again, it has to be about cult worship for this guy, because honestly, these are the
people who changed
the flag to make it different so that they can put it up and have a blue line across it to go and say that they have solidarity. And they always say, we love the troops, we love the troops, and all this stuff, except for when it comes to using them as a photo op. It's disgusting.
It's so exploitative. And here's what made it worse. Not just the use of the photos, and apparently Mr. Trump also posted a video of this footage on TikTok. And it was a campaign video, because the voiceover on the video that Mr. Trump posted to TikTok had a voiceover that was criticizing the Biden administration. Like, that is campaigning. But this is what was the most disturbing element of this entire scandal, is that Stephen Chung, one of the Trump campaign's most vocal spokespeople, he's the one that's quoted very frequently, when asked to make comment by NPR, accused the woman working for the National Cemetery, for Arlington, who simply tried to remind staffers of the rules. Mr. Chung accused her of suffering a mental health episode. What?
Hey, at least he didn't use the word hysteria.
Well, you might have. The implication's clear. And to top it all off, then Chris LaCivita, another advisor, high-level advisor for the Trump campaign, sent it his own statement on Tuesday that the cemetery worker, the staffer, was a, quote, despicable individual who is spreading lies and dishonoring the men and women of our armed forces. How is this not gaslighting? How is this not completely turning around and having zero accountability and zero respect for our service members who have made the ultimate sacrifice? Disgusting. We come back. I want to get your impressions. The phone and text lines are open. Are you as enraged as I am about this? In the string of indignities suffered by our military at the hands of Donald Trump, wow. What the hell's wrong with these people? They got to be out of their minds. I'm going to take a breath. We'll come back and hear from you after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC.
Hey, I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
The president is pushing back against people who attack him day after day after day. Where is the outrage on that?
I'm Maggie Dawn. He is Fancy Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday. We're talking about something that's not so happy. As I'm certain many or most of you are aware, Donald Trump was at a wreath-laying ceremony on Monday at Arlington National Cemetery. One of his campaign staffers got into effectively, by all reporting, pushed one of Arlington National Cemetery's staffers who had gone up to the campaign worker to remind them that they are not permitted to take campaign photos or videos in Section 60. This is federal law. It's been federal law forever. Not forever, but since they created this special Section 60, it is well known. And in fact, there have been earlier controversies, specifically with Senator John McCain, when he had run for president. So this is well known. And after word got out about this, the Trump campaign, first of all, didn't apologize, didn't fire the staffer who shoved someone. Like, what? I'm sorry, physical violence in your workplace is now fine, I guess? Not only did accuse the staffer of being, quote, having a mental health episode and being a, quote, despicable individual, dishonoring the men and women of our armed forces. They doubled down. Trump put out a TikTok video specifically that is a campaign video attacking Joe Biden using footage from Arlington. Corey Lewandowski, who works for the campaign, posted photos of it. Oh, by the way, Trump's standing on a gravesite, smiling, giving the thumbs up. I mean, a screw loose, despicable, dishonoring. I, goes on and on. Oh, and one of the reasons that I mentioned before why this is illegal is because you can capture images of the gravestones of other fallen service members. And that can be traumatizing for a family, especially when being used to advance a political agenda of a particular candidate. Imagine your family member had made the ultimate sacrifice to our country and you don't support the candidate that's taking a photo for their campaign with your loved one's gravestone in the photo. And indeed, that's exactly what happened to Sergeant Andrew Marcassano's family. He was a Green Beret who died by suicide in 2020. His grave appeared in Donald Trump's TikTok video. And when contacted, his family said they had no idea his gravestone was visible. They had not given permission. Absolutely ridiculous. The campaign, also making matters worse, first claimed that Arlington had given them permission. Of course, Arlington could not. There is a federal law. I mean, lying, blaming others, casting aspersions, not taking accountability. Any other workplace that I know of, those are all fireable offenses. What do you think? Cindy from Appleton, welcome. What are your thoughts this afternoon?
Well, two things. First of all, why in God's name would any family of a veteran invite that man who has disrespected veterans over and over again to any kind of a veteran affair, period? And number two, are we not surprised? I mean, we're talking about a man who's a criminal, who is a felon, who doesn't understand that he needs to abide by the laws, by the rest of us. And I hope that some of these people whose cemetery information shows up in these TikTok videos actually do file a lawsuit, because I don't understand why the other ones aren't being pursued.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Cindy. I can accept that families have the right to mourn their loved ones, to go to that cemetery. Mr. Trump is a former president. Though I agree with everything that Cindy said about Mr. Trump's behavior, his disregard, disrespect, dishonoring of every service member, including those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. I agree with all of that. But I also respect the families of those fallen soldiers, their right to invite him to join them if they wish to do so. But what is not permitted is this kind of exploitation. And then when called on it, when you have done something so wrong, it's not just the taking of the pictures and the video, it's a physical altercation, your absolute lack of any remorse and your attacking of someone who works at Arlington National Cemetery, just disgusting. Steve from Madison said this, the definition of disgrace, not one redeeming quality in that. I wish this guy would disappear and the press would stop trying to normalize him. This is gross. As we talked about yesterday, he's been posting things about Kamala Harris that have sexual innuendo. He seems to be obsessed with that. It's just vile, disgusting, inappropriate. Joe from Madison, what do you have to say this afternoon?
I think it's appalling and also amazing that this hasn't gone farther. I had four questions to ask you that are kind of a legal situation here. The first one I would ask, and I'll ask my questions and take the answer off the air. First off, Trump committed a crime. We have the evidence that he broke federal law by using this situation, taking photos, videotape, and putting it out there as campaign material. So it is a violation of the law without question. So the first question I would have is the evidence that we can see on TikTok, that's evidence enough, isn't it, to charge a crime? The second question I would ask is, if he has committed a crime, and it seems to be that, isn't he out on bail? And wasn't the deal that if you commit another crime, then the bail is revoked? The third question I would ask is this person who was the employee who was pushed down, as I understand, a woman who was pushed down. I understand that there is a law that says assaulting a federal officer in performance of their duties is also a felony. So why has that not separate item be looked at? Yeah, and it's not enough that the woman says, I don't want to press charges. It seems to me that Arlington National Cemetery should be insisting that charges are go forward. And then the last thing I would ask is this idea that the employee said, okay, I'm not going to press charges. That's not enough, I don't think. What about us? It is our cemetery. And
yeah, Joe, I got to jump in there because we're running out of time. I'm going to quickly answer your questions. I think the simplest answer is I suspect, though I do not know, and this is just me guessing here, that the law prohibiting this kind of taking of photos and video is not a criminal law. It's a civil regulation that prohibits it. The question of assault is a separate one. And again, you want to talk about two legal systems? Yeah. There's the legal system and the rules that exist almost everywhere for rich white guys and their allies. And then there's the rules for everybody else. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Fred Gutenberg, father of Jamie, who died in the Parkland school shooting. I urge you to stay put to listen to our conversation. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in just a minute.
It's a disgrace what's happening.
Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is my humble privilege to invite my next guest onto the show and to host him this afternoon. His name is Fred Gutenberg. He is the father of Jamie Gutenberg, who died on February 14th, 2018 at Parkland. Since that time, Fred and his wife, Jennifer, have made it their mission, their family's mission, to hold elected officials accountable for being bought and sold by the gun lobby, and to make our schools and our communities a safer place by advocating for common sense gun regulations. Welcome, Fred. Thank you so much for making time for our, show this afternoon.
You know, it's amazing. I knew you guys were going to use that song, but it still gets me emotional. My daughter was a competitive dancer. She was always known as my tiny dancer. Well, Elton John knew about it. He actually dedicated it to her in a performance, and listening to it, opening the show, still gets me.
Fred, you're making me tear up.
I'm a mess, man.
Yeah. Let's just take a moment, and I want to honor Jamie and honor your family's commitment to this incredible work to make all of our communities safer. Her memory you honor every day through your work. And you've been working with the Brady Political Action Committee. Mm-hmm. And they have focused recently on five freshman congressmen who are irrationally and irretrievably opposed to any of the common sense gun regulations that the overwhelming majority of Americans support. Things like red flag laws, mm-hmm. right? And the Brady Political Action Committee is particularly focusing on these five freshmen, not only because of their stance, but because they are in congressional districts that are swing districts and can right. be won. One right. of those freshman five, if you will, is Wisconsin 3rd Congressional District Representative Derek Van Orden. I want to ask you, what obviously the death of your daughter is motivating, but you have really devoted all of your time to this effort, Fred. Why is it so important at this juncture, especially as to these five congresspeople, for people to be aware of their stances on common sense gun regulation and to get out there and vote? Why do you spend so much time on this work?
Because 3 weeks after my daughter was killed, we did pass common sense gun legislation in Florida, a really conservative state. And we did it with a bunch of really conservative Republicans backing the bill. And as part of that initiative, we raised the age to 21 and we passed red flag laws, which have now been used in Florida over 15,000 times, the majority of which are being used by the conservative sheriffs throughout the state. Okay. It is not a Democratic thing that is driving safety in Florida. The Republican sheriffs are getting it as well. And listen, after my daughter was killed, I set out on a mission not to be anti-gun, but to be anti-gun violence. I hate gun violence. I want to save lives. I want to stop the next one. And wanting that doesn't make me against the Second Amendment. It doesn't make me anti-gun. But a roadblock are these miserable, just despicable people like a Rep. Van Orden, who says things that make it appear as if doing anything about gun violence or reducing gun violence makes you anti-gun. And they're liars, you know? They're bad people. They have bad motives. My motive is to stop the next one. My motive is to make sure a dad like me gets to continue watching his tiny dancer dance. Rep. Van Orden's motive is more money from the NRA. We are different.
Indeed, sir. And to your very point, the painting of this as a false choice between either respect for the Second Amendment or banning of all weapons, we can hear that from Representative Van Orden's very mouth. Ryan, we're going to take some of this Van Orden sound. This is Representative Van Orden. He was in a congressional hearing. The rule that was being debated was specifically the Veterans Administration due to the epidemic of veteran suicide, which we just indirectly talked about in the prior segment due to Donald Trump's disgusting overall behavior at Arlington National Cemetery. The Veterans Administration was in effect trying to put in place a red flag rule for veterans if they posed an imminent threat of harm to themselves or others. Listen to how Van Orden goes about questioning the Veterans Administration official that was trying to explain why this would help save veterans' lives and, in some cases, the lives of those closest to them. Let's take a listen.
So in the spirit of the 18th and the 21st Amendment, which repealed it, are you calling for the repeal of the Second Amendment?
I am not. I'm prepared to accept the way the Supreme Court has interpreted the Second Amendment and to try to work within the exception in Justice Scalia's statement in Heller that the right is not unlimited. And so it
falls to us. That's correct. In the book Reading Law, Antonin Scalia goes through the developmental process of the Second Amendment, and I think that you're misinterpreting what he's saying. So now listen to me here. What we're doing is we are subverting the Second Amendment. The Veterans Administration does not have the authority to remove constitutional rights now or ever. This body, including my Democrat colleagues, are the only body that are chartered by our Constitution that can change it. You are not. Neither is he. You can't do that. And you're actively, willfully, and knowingly subverting the Constitution of the United States of America, and that will not stand with this body, sir. So either you amend the Constitution, which is incredibly difficult on purpose, so you can't willy-nilly change these things, It takes a very deliberative and hard-fought process. We watched the movie Lincoln last night as a body, and it's fantastic. It was a two-month period of time about the ratification of the 13th Amendment, which freed men and helped correct the original sin in this country. And it was 20 Democrats voted for that. And if they had not, it would not have passed. So either you call for the repeal of the Second Amendment or you stop doing this. And you stop doing this. Knock it off. You're subverting the constitutional rights of American citizens, and you don't have that authority. We do. No. That is all I have to say. Yes, sir. Please comment, Mr. Swanson.
I certainly concede that we cannot broadly limit legal access to guns.
Well, then don't.
What we have to do is something more difficult, and that is to figure out who are the people who pose such a high risk of harming themselves or others that it is justified.
Mr. Swanson, you're a clinical psychologist who's been in this field for almost 40 years, and you haven't figured it out yet? Then maybe you should look at a different vocation, sir.
I think we've made a lot of progress on that score, and I think we have
not. Veteran suicide's increasing. That's not true. That is not true. We've spent $19 billion in 2023 on suicide prevention, and suicides are increasing.
We need
so your methodology has been proven to be bad, and I have no more time, sir. With that, I yield back. Thank you.
I apologize, Mr. Gutenberg, for the length of that clip, but the audacity, the disrespect, and the complete abrogation of any responsibility on Representative Van Orden's part to actually engage in the substantive, nuanced discussion that is the point. How do we help people with mental health issues, and how does that intersect with the Second Amendment? I think is just, I mean, I heard that, and by the way, the video's terrible too, because he's literally wagging his finger. But this is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it, Fred?
So let me address Van Orden, then let me address the topic, and then let me tell you what we're going to do. First on Van Orden, having a guy who was in D.C. on January 6th attempting to undermine the democracy, the Constitution, counsel anybody on what the Constitution means, he can go to you know where, okay? He doesn't care about democracy. He doesn't care about the Constitution. If he did, he would not have been there in D.C. on that day prepared to hang Mike Pence. So that's who he is. So I just don't feel like hearing from him any constitutional lessons. That said, I am familiar with the history of this. In fact, I wrote a book called American Carnage. And the history of America is one as a country with gun owners, a Second Amendment, but with respect for safety. In fact, we always pursued safety up until the 80s when the NRA went through a major shift and they started pursuing guys like Van Orden to implement the policies that would ultimately sell more guns. And that's who he is. That's who he is beholden to. So, but it hasn't always been this way. And when you look at the most recent Supreme Court decision, just a couple of years ago, they overturned, in the Bruin case, a law in New York that was over 100 years old. And I mentioned the age of that law because we always pass laws to reduce gun violence until guys like Van Orden came around. So let's be clear on that. As for the policy, it is clear that the work of the past couple of years to reduce gun violence is working. Gun violence isn't just homicides. It is also suicides.
Yes.
In fact, somewhere it used to be two-thirds, it's now less than two-thirds of all gun violence is suicides. But because of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, suicides with a gun are down, homicides are down, and Van Orden is just wrong. So there's a really simple solution to guys like Van Orden. Tell them we don't need them any longer. They can go find some other employment somewhere else and vote. Just freaking vote. We don't need guys like him in D.C. Listen, one of my closest friends now is one of the original Tea Party guys, former Congressman Joe Walsh, a gun guy who actually can have rational, reasonable conversations with me about guns and agrees with me. We have to do more to keep them out of the hands of those who intend harm to themselves or someone else.
We're going to take care of just a little bit of business. Former Representative Joe Walsh, certainly a friend of this show. We've had him on a few times. I love getting him riled up. I love hearing from you, Mr. Guttenberg. We're going to come back, folks, with Fred Guttenberg, father of Jamie Guttenberg, who died in the Parkland shooting on February 14th, 2018. He is now a common sense gun regulation advocate so that we can reduce gun violence across every single community. Stick with us, folks. Such an important discussion to be had. Derek Van Orden, unfit to serve. We'll be back here on the Civic Media Radio Network after these important messages.
The day he came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know, I'm gonna be like you.
Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're having an incredibly important and serious conversation this Friday afternoon with Fred Guttenberg, whose daughter Jamie is no doubt looking down on you, Fred, and your family, and thinking, yeah, that's the kind of dad everyone deserves. Again, I'll start with my thanks to you and your family for your dedication to the effort to stop gun violence. I want to share with folks just some of the basic polling on these issues. 67% of Americans believe gun violence is a major problem. 43% are very concerned. If we combine that with somewhat concerned, it's 77% are very or somewhat concerned that their child's school could be the site of a mass shooting. 45% of Americans strongly agree, and when combined with somewhat agree, 65% of Americans agree that assault-style weapons should not be readily available to citizens. I can go on. The bottom line here, Fred, is about voting. Voting in the 3rd Congressional District. Yes. We have a choice. We have a choice to send Van Orden packing, don't we?
Listen, this election is either about hope and progress and bringing decency and civility back and electing people who want to ensure that you and those you love can be safe, or not voting and ending up with a guy like Van Orden. There's more people who feel the way we do. You just read the statistics. This isn't about what the majority feels. The majority wants this stuff. It's a question of who votes. And so it's if you find yourself agreeing that you want to support those who want to reduce gun violence, not antagonize the Second Amendment, not antagonize gun owners, but reduce gun violence, who, by the way, whoever that person is that you may vote for is also likely the same person who wants to restore bodily autonomy, who wants to protect voting rights, who wants to protect the environment for you and those you love. If you agree, then it's really simple. Don't get mad at people like Van Orden and waste all your energy screaming at a television. Make sure you go ahead and get a voting plan in place. Check your voter registration. Decide, am I going to vote in person or early or by mail? And be prepared to vote at the earliest possible chance that you can in your state. Don't scream at the television. Get a voting plan and vote, and make sure every single person you know that's of voting age has a voting plan in place as well. We can fix this. We can elect a President Harris and a Vice President Walz, and we can down ballot. We can flip this House by firing guys like Van Orden. We can maintain the Senate, and we can actually make D.C. work again.
Wouldn't that be a very welcome change of pace? I just want to share these additional facts with people. Van Orden has been rated 100% by the Gun Owners of America. He's received an A-plus to an A to a B-plus rating from the NRA. He has said these things: Biden, Pelosi, and Democrats running for Congress in the third congressional district, this was still during the primary time, do not respect the Second Amendment and want to take away your rights as Americans. That is a lie. It's a damn lie. And he is a lying liar who spreads lies. And he's the kind of guy that bullies kids working in libraries, Senate pages in the Capitol rotunda. The guy is despicable.
But he did more than he literally, it's on video. He cursed kids out for no reason at all. They were in the rotunda. They were taking photos, which they are allowed to do. He went on a rampage. Who knows what was behind his rampage? But that's what he did.
Perhaps all the empty alcohol and beer cans in his congressional office.
I didn't want to bring it up, but I will. About.
I mean, the guy was loaded, and he lost his bananas at a bunch of kids working as Senate pages in the Capitol. What the F are you all doing? Get the F out of here. You're defiling the space. Who the F are you? Who the F are you, Derek Van Orden?
He's also brought a loaded gun through a TSA checkpoint.
Yes. I was just going to get, thank you, Fred. I'm getting upset over here. You're going to keep me tied down. Tried to take a loaded freaking gun on a plane. Just during the RNC, he got in, like shoved a woman out of line and then blamed her. He's shouted during State of the Union addresses. Oh, and he wrote a book in 2015. This is one of my favorite Van Orden facts. Book of Man, a Navy SEAL's Guide to the Lost Art of Manhood. You can only imagine what sort of claptrap and tripe that's filled with. He had an absolutely belligerent outburst at a White House briefing on Israel and the Gaza conflict, lost his marbles, refused to apologize. People giving the briefing reported that they were afraid for their physical safety. He criticized the 2016 decision to allow women to become Navy SEALs, saying that women have to take a 2-year break. That's not good business. And he's referenced Aboriginal cultures as a good example of what gender roles in the United States should be. Folks, as Mr. Guttenberg has said, we need to vote. If there are third congressional district folks listening right now, Fred, I want to give you the last word. What do you want to say to people? What are your thoughts for Wisconsin voters?
Yeah, you spent a couple of years getting angry at him. Now make him irrelevant. Vote him out of office.
I love it. I think I'm going to get t-shirts made with that saying. Are you angry? Let's make them irrelevant again. That's what I'd like to do, because it's so extreme. And all of this, if you want to drain the swamp, start with the gun lobby.
Yep.
It's a good place to start. And certainly, sir, I hope we can continue this conversation. Thank you so very much for your time this afternoon and your tireless advocacy in this area. I really appreciate it. That's Fred Guttenberg, father of Jamie Guttenberg, who died in the Parkland shooting a little bit over 6 years ago. Here's where you can find out where you vote. Myvote.wi.gov. Make a plan to vote and get it done. When we come back, Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll get together then, and we're gonna have a good time there.
Explain that, because my voters don't get it.